We're very thankful this morning to have everybody on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You're our very honored guest, and those of us at Highland Heights, we are thankful that you've joined us in worship this morning, and also those of our visiting brothers and sisters across the nation who may be joining us via this worship online, via conference call. We are thankful that God has provided us a means to come together and assemble and hear the voice. Thank God that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so therefore, we are thankful this morning for all of us that we are blessed to have the Word of God, that we can read it and follow its instructions. Y'all, people are dying all over this world, and the Bible has told us and has warned us that the pointing unto man wants to die, and after that, there will be a judgment. We believe that this book's right. We believe that there will be a judgment. We believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. We believe that Jesus hung on that cross for 6 long hours, and the blood that he shed, according to this book, will wash man's sins away in baptism. This book says that blood will keep us cleansed as we walk in the light. It also tells us in Acts 20 and 28 that this blood purchased the church which wears his name. She is the bride of Christ. She is known as the Church of Christ. This book also tells us only a few will find that straight and narrow way. And I want to tell you the straight and narrow way is in one place, and that place is in Christ, which is in his body, and his kingdom, which is the Church of Christ. So understand clearly that we're trying to follow this book because we want to make heaven our home. This morning, we will tell everyone about what they must do to be saved at the end. But briefly, let me say up front, if you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're not ready for judgment. So as we go into the book of life, into the book of Revelation, we studied. We've gone up to chapter number 9 now, and so this is the continuation this morning of the seals, the 7 seals that are going to be opened. Now, today's sermon title is entitled, The 4 Angels Were Loose. Now, I clearly want you to pay attention. I encourage everyone to make sure you take notes during this lesson. Follow along carefully. There will be some details I'm going to give you this morning that you don't want to miss. You need to know this before you die. Now, we looked at this opening of the 7th seal. And seal number 1, we found the white horse. We knew on that was Christ riding the white horse as the conqueror. Came behind him, seal number 2, there was a red horse. And this was Christian preparing for being persecuted, as Christians. So there's blood being shed. Seal number 3, there was a black horse. And that was indicating that the Christians were suffering at that time. And seal number 4 was the pale horse, knowing that everyone would have to ride the horse of death. On the back of the pale horse was death. Seal number 5 was open. There were dead saints who had gone on already crying out, saying, how long would our people have to go through this? And God instructed them to wait and rest. And seal number 6, judgment is announced, but it was not carried out. In chapter 7, we learn about what every man must do before they die. They must be sealed by God. We learn, and I taught you all, that the seal that he was talking about was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what would seal. And when you obey the Holy Spirit, you're being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, then we had 7 angels that were given 7 trumpets. 7 angels were given 7 trumpets. And then we look at that in chapter 8. Now, look at this. The first angel, when he blew, judgment struck a third part of the land. Angel number 2 blew the trumpet, and a third part of the sea was struck. So you see, these angels are releasing judgment on the earth. The land, number 2, the sea, number 3, the rivers and waters, and number 4, the fourth angel blew, we found that judgment would come in of darkness, sun and moon and stars would go dark. We know when things go dark, something's going on, and we found out in Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. Stay with me now. Take notes, because this I'm going to lay it out this morning. I'm going to lay it out. He says in verse 13, watch Revelation 8. I'm going to bring you up. I beheld John. Okay, John is in a vision. Remember last week? Go back and listen to that one. He's in a vision. He says, I beheld, I looked, I saw. What do you see, John? An angel What is he doing? Flying in the midst of heaven. What? He's saying something. What is he saying, John? He's saying with a loud voice, whoa, 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 to inhabitants of the earth. That's the inhabitants. Everybody on the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet sound. So we heard from four angels, but this flying angel saying, you better warn them. The last three going to blow. Uh-oh. There's a flying angel warning all inhabitants, mankind. Three angels are left. We are to listen to the woe, the warning of these three angels. Fifth, sixth, seventh angel are going to sound their trumpet. And Revelation chapter 9, if I just recap a little bit from last week, remember in chapter 9, verse 1, fifth angel started. And verse 1 says, the fifth angel sounded. And I saw, what'd you see, John? A star fall from heaven. You saw a star fall from heaven? Yes. What is this? What is this? What are you talking about, John? A star. It fell from heaven unto the earth. And it's a hymn. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. What did this star do with that pit, that key? Verse 2. He opened the bottomless pit, Tom. Oh, what's happening? What do you see? Smoke coming out of that pit. The smoke arose out of the pit like a great furnace, like a big fire. Heating up, the smoke is coming out of it. And everything was dark because this was black smoke coming out of this. And then he starts seeing these locusts, these things that look like they were given power. Scorpions of the earth has power. And he said it was commanded them. They should not hurt the grass and earth or any green thing or anything, but only those before which have not the seal. Now, this is where I pointed out that you better be sealed before this happens. Every one of us better be sealed. What do you mean? We better have obeyed the Holy Spirit. The scriptures that we have been given us by the Holy Spirit, John 16:13. Jesus said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Spirit has given us the instructions, y'all. You cannot be sealed if you don't obey the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. What do you mean? You got to be baptized as instructed by the Spirit, and the Spirit will put you in one body, which is one church, and the one church that the Spirit has told us about in this book is called the Church of Christ, and the teaching must be according to them. Now, you know, I already know. You don't want these angels. You don't want to deal with these last three. So let's just drop down. You go back and listen last week when I said he opened the bottomless pit. I detailed what those creatures are looking at. These were evil influences. These were evil influences coming out of that pit to destroy. They're coming out of the pit, y'all. And he said in verse number 6, it's going to be so bad. Y'all listen to this. In Revelation 9:6, when this happens, it's going to be so bad. In those days shall men seek death and shall not. How many of y'all just want to die right now? Go look for death. You know, nobody's looking for death. They're running from death. And this day, they want to die. Why? This is a terrible event. They want to die, but death is not going to stop it. Death won't come to the people to save them. Death won't come. They shall desire to die, and death will be running. Right now, death is sitting right by you on your couch. Why you got you? Why it's interrupting? This devil is distracting you from hearing this word, and you're listening to music, or you're playing on your phone, or you're on your computer, and you have listened to what I'm saying. You don't want to know why? Because I want you to look right next door to you, right sitting in the couch with you. It's death waiting for God to say it's time. What are you doing right now? How much of a distraction is in your house? How many are really focused on what I'm saying? How many of you are just going through a routine right now? Understand this. Death said, Rich, death goes with you to the store. He goes with you to the doctor's office. Death is in your car. Death is sitting by you. Death is just waiting. And there's going to be a day, God is saying here, on this day, death leave. No option. No option. Slow it down right there. Now turn off all your distractions so you can get the rest of the message. I know us. We even do it in worship. We'll text. We texting. We emailing. We surfing on the web. Is when God gets your full attention. You know, that's what I notice when God gets a person full attention. When they're on their deathbed, nothing matters then. So what are you saying, Brother Brooks? I'm saying, turn off the rest of your distraction right now and listen to me. Because there's some good stuff coming right now. Now this pit was open. In verse 11 of chapter 9, he says, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek, Apollyon. Now he identified. Now we know who had the key in his hand. It was none other than that old rascal, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, Belial,
That's it.
That old devil got the key. He wants all of us to fall in the pit with him, because there is no bottom, y'all. There is no end to eternal damnation. He cannot be saved. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, use your right mind, stay focused, because your adversary, the enemy, is Satan. He's the king over this pit. This is the second death. There's no coming back. You might not believe in heaven. You might not believe in hell. But if this book is telling those of us who do believe, this is not for the person who don't believe. This is for those of us who do believe that we want to stay out of that pit. Now, in chapter 9, verse 12, now that we know who the destroyer is, the Bible says in verse 12, there's one woe passed, that's the last three angels. And behold, verse 12, and two woes more hereafter. Right here, it's where we pick it up at. Who can Satan and them evil influence, them old ugly descriptions of that old thing with a face, with hair like a woman, a scorpion tail, who can they hurt? Only men, only those men which have not the seal. In other words, Satan cannot get to the person who has obeyed God, who has obeyed the Spirit of God. Who are those who have obeyed the Spirit of God? It's those who have been born of the water of the Spirit, as Jesus commanded in John 3. It's those that he can hurt, are those who have not obeyed the gospel. Those who have not been baptized in water for remission of sin. Those who are not sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Those who have not obeyed the scripture. God is not going to come whisper in your ear to tell you what you have to do. You got to hear the word. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God has given it to us in writing, whereby when we read, we may understand what God is telling. God didn't make salvation difficult. All he said is, go tell the people what my son did for him. He said, tell him my son died. He suffered on the cruel cross of Calvary. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He resurrected, and he gave the command, go into the world, go down there and tell these people on the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, all the world know that Jesus hung on that cross. He said, but if they believe it and is baptized, shall be saved. The person who's in trouble, who don't believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died in Jerusalem around AD 33. Yeah, he was there. We didn't see it. It's in this book. Somebody say, well, Brother Brooks, I believe Jesus died, but I don't believe in baptism. Let me be the one to tell you, you're not a believer. You're an unbeliever. How can you say you believe in the book that describes Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and don't believe in the same command that came from Jesus? Will you please just stop telling me you're a believer? You're not a believer. A believer believes everything. You know, people who question baptism are unbelievers. People who question one church are unbelievers. And there are some, even in the Lord's church, who don't believe the Savior in the one church. Let me be the first to warn you that you are an unbeliever. Jesus said it, Matthew 7:21. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many were saying to me that, Lord, these sound like believers to me, don't they? Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? Sound like believers. He said, I profess unto you, I never knew you. Why? You're a worker of iniquity. In other words, you came up with your own way to come to heaven. You came up with your own way of being saved. And that's how we get these stories like, oh, Lord came into my heart. Oh, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. None of that came from the scripture. Nobody was saved by accepting Jesus in their heart. They all had to do what he commanded them, and that was to be born of the water and of the Spirit, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're not a believer. Believers believe it all. You say, well, brother, why are you saying it like that? Because you need to hear it like that. You're going to die, and you're going to fall in this pit. Like members of the church who don't think you have to assemble, you don't have to worship, you don't have to give right. You ain't in no better shape. You have to give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. We have to sing. We have to pray. We have to receive with meek. We have to serve. There is something to be done. You can't sit around and go to heaven. You got to serve God. Not only worship, but you got to serve. So it applies to those who are members of the church and those who are not members of the Lord's church. All of us have to make sure if we sin, we have to repent. That's commanded. Now, look at verse 13, Revelation 9:13. And the sixth angel said, here he comes, the sixth angel. Notice this. Now, pay close attention. Underline this right here. I heard a voice. Now, look, that's singular. What you hear, what this angel says, the sixth angel sounded. John said, I heard a voice when he said, the voice from the four horns. See, when you blow a horn, it comes with sound and loud. This voice came from the golden altar, which which is before God. So it sounds like, so it looks like John said, there's voices coming from these homes. Oh, my goodness. It's one voice. It's one voice is speaking right now. What is he saying, John? Verse 14. He's saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet. Notice what the voice is saying something to the angel. He said, loose the four angels. This voice gave a command. Four angels to be loose, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. My title this morning is the loose the four angels. My emphasis is on, get it now, put this in your notes. My emphasis is on the voice that gave the command to loose these angels. This voice told the sixth angel to loose them of the four, which are bound. They have been bounded, they have been tied up, and they have been restricted. He said, loose them, the four angels. Now, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. It's important. This is very important. In 2 Peter 3:8, but be not ignorant of this one thing, Peter said, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. One day. A thousand years seems a long time to us. To God, and a thousand years is one day. What is my point? When you read this, you can't take no time, like such as when you say month, year, as same meaning as the way we think about it, as literal, and apply it to any event today. You cannot take this book and be sure that any man living is accurate. And when he or she, unfortunately today, women are trying to say they prophets, predict or so-called prophesy that what's going on now is in the scriptures and is defined as a time period that is going to last. Everything described in the from the first seal to the seventh can happen on the same day. The Bible say the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief comes suddenly. But the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:2, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, watch the third story, the heavens shall pass, with great noise, the elements shall melt. That sounds like them other angels with third. Remember? Now, this must be your mindset. Some of you may not even know, but those are millennial, pre-millennium, trying to say we on a thousand-year reign or anything like that right now. God's going to loose the devil for a thousand years. You can't take years as literal when God look at a year as a day. Now, go back to Revelation verse 13. Here's where I want to nail this, verse 13. Now, this is important that you don't miss this, because I'm going to repeat it. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded. Remember, we got seven. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, saying to the sixth angel, loose the four angels. Now, who said that? That was a voice. Now, the Bible does not reveal exactly what this event is, but rest assured, it hasn't happened, but it's going to happen. When? You said, what? Did you say something about when? Are you asking about time? Are you trying to say, can I pick a day? Is that what you don't know? Nobody knows that answer. Nothing can happen. This cannot happen until God says, Satan and his angels cannot touch the earth or the people on the earth. God, four angels will lose, which were prepared, notice what they're prepared for, an hour, here they come, here come time, hour, a day, a month, a year, singular, a hour, a day, a month, a year. Just what they're going to do at this day, at this hour, on this day, in this month, and in this year. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying whatever this happens, they're going to slay. What? They're going to slay. Who are they going to slay? The men. The third part of the judgment comes on men. But the only group they can't touch is those that have been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Brother, sister, that's why I'm going to do everything I can to follow. Spirit says follow. If the Spirit say, Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me, you better be taking the Lord's Supper every day, every Sunday, as the Scripture commanded. Acts 20, verse 7. You better drink that blood. You better be washed in that blood. You better be in the blood purchase church, and you best be drinking blood. Why? That's what the Spirit gave. Because this day, 8 hour, there is a time. But this is all going to happen. But who is the voice? The voice. I want y'all to listen. Write this one down. Somebody asked Jesus about judgment. When is judgment going to come? When is all this going to happen? When is judgment going to come? When is it going to be? In Mark 13:32, when is the end of the world? Here's what y'all need. Listen to it now. Mark 13:32. Of that day, watch this.
of that hour, there's that a day, a hour, of that day, of that hour, know it no man. No, not Brother Brooks. No, not Prophet so-and-so. No, not Bishop so-and-so. No man. No, not the Pope. No man. No. Not the angels. What? You just left the earth. Angels who are in heaven don't know. They don't know. Which are in heaven. Notice what he says. Neither his son. So he's saying, who can tell us that the end of the world, when that day, what is that hour, when is that, what year is that going to happen? Jesus can't. Well, you know what baffles my mind? How can anybody say they believe in the Bible and believe what some man predicts when the Bible is clearly telling us that the angels and not even Jesus can tell you that day? But notice he said, who can tell us? Who will make the announcement? The announcement, he said, but the Father. There it is, right? A voice. A voice made the announcement. If the only one can announce judgment is the Father, then how do I know who gonna announce it? Because he said it. Only the Father. This voice has spoken before and people didn't listen. This voice is speaking to us today. Folk don't want to listen to the voice. In Matthew 7, Jesus said that many today do not face the fact that the voice has already spoken. In John, in Matthew 7:21, he says, my Father's will must be done. What is the will of the Father? Is that we obey his Son and we obey the doctrine or the teaching of his Son, 2 John verse 9. This voice, I want to remind you, when they were baptizing Jesus, there was a voice that spoke. In Matthew chapter 13:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. And Jesus said unto him, suffer it now be so, for thus it has become to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. Lo, this, now watch, there's the Son of God. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. There come the Holy Spirit and lighten it up on Jesus. So you got the Son, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit at the scene. And verse 17, here's the voice. Here's the voice. And lo, a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. The voice spoke at Jesus' baptism. Peter wanted to build three churches in Matthew chapter 7. He said it was a transfiguration. Now, for the sake of time, I won't read all of it. But in Matthew 17, you go back and read it. Peter said, God is, Jesus, good to be here. He said, I want to build a tabernacle. That's a place to worship. I want to be a one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. If it was up to Peter, he had a church of Moses, a church of Elijah, and a church of Christ. But I'm going to tell y'all, in verse number 5 of Matthew 17, and while Peter, the apostle, was still speaking before he got it all out of his mouth about building three churches, and even though Moses was a good man, Elijah was a good man, they were prophets of old. But the voice interrupted him. The voice said, behold, the voice from a bright cloud overshadowed Peter. And everybody there, and his voice came out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son. And that voice, you don't build no church in nobody. That's why I wouldn't be in a modern day denomination of church wearing the name of anything other than the church. Not a mountain, not Mount Zion, not Pleasant Grove, not Baptist, not Methodist, not Catholic, not none of the names that are not called. That is coming from man, but the voice stopped the apostle from doing it. He said, Peter, no. The voice spoke. And then, at the hour of Jesus' death, Jesus said in John 12:23, he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of the wheat falling into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hated his life in the world shall keep it unto life eternal. Notice what he said in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me where I am. And there also my servant be. If any man serve him, but him will my Father honor. Then Jesus said, my soul is troubled. And I say, what shall I say? And Jesus, even during his death, he said, what shall I say? Father, save me. From this hour being beat with a whip, to be spit on and mocked, and a crown of thorns put me on my head,
and they're going to march me up the hill and drive and execute me with nails in my hands and my feet. What am I going to ask my Father to do to save me? Father, glorify thy name. There it is in verse 28. Watch what he says. Then came there a voice from heaven. The voice responded. He said, I have already done it. I have both glorified it and will glorify it. Glorify what? Father, glorify you. God loved us, and his name has been glorified when his son hung on the cross in your place and my place. When his son hung on the cross, I have glorified. When I gave his son, and Jesus then told them, the people that stood by, in verse 29, they heard it. Notice what they said, that it thundered. And others said, an angel spoke to him. So this voice got attention of everybody that was listening. And Jesus came and said to them, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now the judgment of the world, now the prince of the world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up to the earth, will draw men unto me. Verse 33 said, then he said, signifying what, there it is, the devil he lifted up and brought glory to him. Boy, that voice spoke again. 2 Peter 1:15. Peter said this, more I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have things, these things also remember. But when Peter said, I don't want y'all to forget this, but we have not followed cunning devised fable. We made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord, the power of our Lord, but were eyewitnesses magic. Peter said, we saw this with our own eyes. And for he received from God the Father honor and glory. Peter's reminded. That's what Jesus said. When did he? Notice verse number 17. 2 Peter 1:7. For he received from God the Father honor, glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. He said, the voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And Peter said, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with in the holy mountain. Peter said, I was up there that day trying to build a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah, and I heard this voice interrupt me and told me, if man who call himself reverends and fathers and so-called preachers, if they can understand what Peter just said. Peter said, I was trying to build three churches and the voice stopped me in my tracks. He interrupted me. Who was that voice, Peter? It was the Father. So I'm proving that it was the Father. The voice was the Father. And on the day of judgment, the only one can release these four angels, that voice, will be the Father. So let me close. Now you know who the voice is. Let's go back to Revelation. Now I know. I use nothing but Bible to prove who the voice. This voice that blew from those four horns was the Father. Notice this in verse 16 of Revelation 9. I'm closing. I think y'all got the divorce. It's going to happen. And something's going to follow it. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number. John said, I should see your horse in vision. And them that sat on them have breastplate of fire. Jackson, brimstone, the heads of the horses was as the heads of lions. Picture that. A horse with a lion's head. And out of the mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. These guys are coming to get the meat. These are coming to get people. He said these three were the third part of men. Fire, smoke, by the brimstone, issued out of there. For their power is in their mouth and in their tail. For their tails were like unto serpent. He hurt the devil and his angel will be inflicted. Pain. Y'all know that the rich man already right now, anyone who died outside of the body of Christ, outside of the, that ain't the worst case. It's when the bottomless pit be open. That's eternal hell. That's Gehenna. That's eternal hell. There is a hell, y'all. There is fire in that place. It's going to be painful. But so you're scaring me, Brother Brooks. Well, maybe you need to be scared. All of us need to, what you need to scare, fear God. If you fear God, you won't have to fear death because you'll just obey what God said do. If you think you can win against Satan without God, you're in sad shape. Notice in verse 20, and the rest of the men who were not killed by the plagues yet repented not of the works of their hand. They should not worship devil, idols of gold, silver, and brass, and stone, wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented, say they of their murders, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. What it looks like to me, the people who are in trouble are those who never repented. Repentance is the beginning of avoiding this army from hell. Repentance is the beginning of avoiding the army from the pit with no bottom. It's repentance. You got the repentance is the beginning of avoiding the king of the bottomless pit, the destroyer, old Abaddon, and old Satan.
Apollyon. And Jesus said it very clearly in Luke 13:3. He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, shall all likewise perish. And the Bible speaks in Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorant God winked, but now commanded men everywhere to repent. Brother and sister, repent is what we must do in order to save our soul. If you are on the call today, you have not repented. What does that mean? You can't keep just living like you want to. At some point, you got to give your life to the Lord. At some point, you got to give up fornication, adultery, and lying, cheating, and stealing. At some point, you got to give up your part in life. At some point, you got to give up all this stuff that's sinful and start living for the Lord. At what point you going to believe that God loved you enough and gave his son? At some point, you got to say, I can't keep living this way. I need to walk with God. I need to try to do it God's way. No, you won't be perfect. But until you stop, repent means you got to change your mind. You got to change your mind. If you have not been faithful to the Lord, you've been baptized in the church, and you haven't been coming to worship, when you going to repent? When you going to repent? Because the only people that's in trouble at the day of judgment are those who never repented. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, when they were preaching, Peter preached to them, saying, y'all killed him. Y'all crucified him. Y'all did it. Y'all one did it. Y'all hung him up there on the cross. These people were looking at Peter that day. Y'all walked by Jesus. Y'all mocked him. Y'all talked about him. Y'all did it. And the people said unto Peter, they were pricked in their heart. So, oh, Lord, what we do? The first thing Peter said, repent. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent. You better repent. And then he said, you be baptized. Why? That's when your sins going to get forgiven for the remission of your sin. That's when you obey the Spirit right there. Now, there is a trumpet coming. It's going to be the last trump. The voice will loose the four angels. That's judgment day. That's what Paul said in closing. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Paul said, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Notice what is going to happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I mean like batting your eye. At the last trump, there it is, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, talking about our bodies, which go back to dirt, have put on incorruption, which is no longer can happen, this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, there it is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's the sting? They can't hurt. Death can't. Oh, grave, where's your victory? Can't claim victory. They got up. The sting of death is seen. That's the those of you, those of us, those of any man who on this world, on this earth, that don't repent of their sins and don't get right with God. Paul asked the question, the sting of death is gone. The sting of death and the strength of the law is the sin. So the death, sting of death is when one die in their sin. John 8:21-24. He said, if you die in your sins where I am, ye cannot. That's heaven. Paul said, but thanks to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always bound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. So what's the message? He loosed the four angels. Who was it that loosed? None other than the Father. What's going to happen when they loose? They're going to attack every man who did not repent. Would that be you? Would that be me? Is God going to have a respected person? It'd be all nationality. All nations got to do the same thing, regardless to color, regardless to nationality. Man got to. And brothers and friends, if you're on this call this morning and you're going to get this message, you probably won't go because you ain't listening. If you're listening to God, those of us in the church, if we listen to God, when we sin, we repent. And when we repent, we stop. So have you repented? Are you just reporting to us that you sin? When you repent, you stop. So, Brother Brooks, I repent. And I thought I was going to be all right. I went back to that. That's called you falling. You're falling. You can get up, though. You can still get up and repent. Get back in the fight. Ain't nobody can say they ain't never failed. Everybody fall. And shame on any of us who look down on somebody who falls. Because we all fall. That's why we come into Jesus. We come into the blood so we can have a repentant heart and we can get forgiveness when we make mistakes. But if you have not been baptized and you're not in the Church of Christ, you're not getting forgiveness of your sin because you haven't obeyed the Spirit. So what do you got to do today? Well, members of the church need to repent and ask for forgiveness. Come home. And those who are visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you got to hear the old story. How the Savior came to glory. From glory, gave his life on Calvary. You got to believe that he suffered for you. You ought to be in mourning this morning. You ought to be crying that God would let his son go through such a terrible death for you. That ought to bring your heart to repentance. That ought to bring you to godly sorrow. And that will cause you to repent. See, I don't want to just keep spitting in God's face. I want to repent, Brother Brooks. I want to obey him. Well, how do you obey him? Number one, you hear it. You hear the gospel. Acts 15 and verse 7. You believe it, Acts 15 and verse 7. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number three, you must repent. Luke 13, 3. Acts 17, 30. There's one time God is not slack concerning his promise that some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us world. The reason we haven't died in our sin is because he's been long-suffering to us world, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we come to repentance. Can't y'all see all the people, those things from that bottom of the pit coming to folk who never repented? Number four, you must confess now, or you're going to confess when we get before God, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, he that confessed me before men, I'll confess him before my Father. There's that voice. He that deny me, I'll deny him. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So that confession, what is that confession that you got to make? Well, but Jesus, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to do it. You're going to confess it. Everybody going to say it. Whether they believe it or not, they're going to say it on the day of judgment. But Jesus did this. I tell your neighbor, except you. So what do you say? Well, what confession must I make? Well, there was a man who was a eunuch. He wanted to be baptized. Philip went to him. He did exactly what Jesus told him. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. They come up on water, Acts 8, 35 through 37. And the man said, man, here's some water. You said it. Jesus said, I have to be baptized. He said, you do have to be baptized. He said, here, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I want to be baptized. He said, okay. He said, you believe? He said, yeah, I believe. He said, what do you believe? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Same confession that you're going to make on judgment. God said, everybody going to get to their knees. And everybody who rejected my son, everybody who did not believe in him, they will confess him before me. So what do mankind need to do on this earth? You better make that confession before me. He said, he that confessed me before me. So what confession did this man make? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here's your step. Number one, you got to hear and believe. Believe all of the Bible. Don't believe some of it. Believe everything right down to the one church, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. If you've been baptized and you're not in the one church, you wouldn't baptize properly. You wouldn't talk truth. That baptism just got you wet. You need to go down in the water believing there's some blood in there. You believe in that blood going to wash away your sins and believe that blood going to put you in the one church. Now, here's what Brother Brooks done. You messed up and got on my call and heard this message because you can't stand on judgment and say that you didn't know. You cannot say it because I told you. It's on your record. It's written that you was on this call. I told you. So I do that every time I preach. I try to make sure it's on the person who listened to me record that they know the simple plan of salvation is hearing, believing, repenting, making a confession, being baptized, and being added to the one church. What church is that, Brother Brooks? Well, in the same book, it tells you, Romans 16, 16, Paul says, salute one another, holy kids, the churches of Christ. If it was a Baptist church, I'd tell you, God, my family grew up in the Baptist. Good people, all good people. It's not about being good. It's about did you obey? Good don't get you to heaven. Obedience does. So if you're on the call this morning, you want to get baptized, I want you to raise your hand by hitting 5-star on your phone. Hit 5-star on your phone. We're going to sing an invitation song. Hit 5-star on your phone. If there are members of the church who need to ask God to forgive them, I want you to hit 5-star on your phone. I want you to hit 5-star on your phone. You make your confessions. The brother says, I have sinned. I repent. I repent. And we will pray with for you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. The Bible says, that's 1 Peter 3:12. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. 1 John 1:5, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us. So what do you got to do? The people I'm talking to, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you need to raise your hand and say, I need to be washed in the blood today, Brother Brooks. I'm repenting. I haven't been taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I'm not in the church called the Church of Christ. I didn't know about the blood in the water. I didn't know about the things you talked to me about. I've been sitting on a woman preacher. I've been, listen, calling my preacher reverend. I've been calling my Pope Father. And Jesus said, do none of that. And I've been doing all of that. I want to repent today. I want to be baptized. And we'll get you to the church building. We'll get you to the church, close to, Church of Christ closer to you. And we'll get you baptized. So we're getting ready to open the call up. David, I want you to sing us an invitation song. And everybody who want to hear this, everybody who want to know what to do, everybody who want to repent, everybody who want to make their confession, everybody who want to get baptized, everybody who believe that this there is a bottomless pit, everybody who believe there is a Satan, everybody who believe there is a heaven, everybody who believe there is a voice, everybody who believe there is a Jesus, you can obey today. But if you don't believe it, it won't help you. David, will you lead us in a song?
In my heart, sometimes I ponder, as down life's road I wander, through a city over yonder, where peace and love abide, where my trials are gone forever. And I'm going there.